Hannah, come on up. This is Hannah Misi, all the way from Ottawa to Hong Kong, Australia. The list goes on. She can tell us if she wants, but around the world. And her dear husband, Leo, we just love these guys so much. I was giving thanks for you this morning, and the worship team, I was giving thanks for you this morning, and the people that God has added to us. And these come, you know, COVID was a very interesting time. God just began to bring some folks, and he brought the Potters to us and others, and we've just been so blessed to welcome Leo and Hannah back to West Ottawa and all the things that you guys are doing. We love you so much. So release what God's given you, and we look forward to it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Well, all I have for my notes is this. It seems so big for something so small. But maybe I can use it to hide if I feel shy. You know, no, just joking. This is Leo. He's my husband. Oh, yes, I need this. Yes. Thank you. Yeah, we are one. He grabbed the mic. It's the best. Okay. Does anyone know any good jokes? I'm terrible with jokes. No, I'm just joking. Do you know a good one? Share a joke.
Okay, so the other day I was talking to my dog. And I asked my dog, how is life going? And my dog said, rough.
That's really good. Got more jokes, more jokes.
I know a lot of jokes about retired people, but none of them work.
These are good. I have not heard either of those ones before. I'm sure about maybe others have, but those are really good. Thank you, thank you. Is there one more? Oh, we got another one. Okay. This is not the plan.
I don't remember a lot of jokes, but this one is on a Christian channel, so I remember it. So there's a couple in the house, and there's a bunch of yelling and screaming at each other and fighting and arguing and cursing and all kinds of words coming out. And then one of the women started yelling, help, help, help. So the neighbor called the cops. So the cops came, and they came to the door, and there was a whole crowd outside talking about, you know, all the different problems that could be. No one knows them, really. So the cops knock on the door, and he started hearing screaming and yelling, and they heard the woman, help, help. So he knocks on the door. And they come to the door, and they said, can we help you, officer? And the officer says, well, we've been hearing screaming and yelling and fighting and curse words and help, help, help. Are you okay? And she said, and the couple said, yes, we just bought something from IKEA. We're putting it together.
That is very, very true. IKEA, I always assumed IKEA would be easy, but it's really the opposite. It is so true. We have a particular IKEA bed. It's called the Cura bed, and it's for kids. It's like a double bunk bed. Anyways, we've had it in Hong Kong. We've had it here. We've had probably three different ones over the years, and Leo has taken those up and down like 10 times, those things. And the poor guy, now he's a pro. He probably could sell his services for putting together those beds because he's really good at it. Oh, okay. Well, there's a lot of faces that I maybe have not been here before when I've spoken. So this is part 5 of a series that I've been doing on community. And many of you have been here the whole time. So thank you for listening every time I speak. The first time was right before Christmas. So about 6 months I've been doing this series and I'm on part 5. So it's been very spread out. So if you remember anything, I'm very impressed by you. Actually, last time I did a little review and there was people that remembered things, which is, I think, an incredible feat. Good job, people. Yeah, so community has really been on my heart for this year of 2025. And now we're in July, right? We're in July. My brain's not all there. Middle of July. We're in the middle of July, so we're halfway done 2025. Anyways, in my heart and the beat of my heart this year has been community. And so the 4 times that I've had a chance to speak, that's what it's been on. Today I had another chance to speak and I was like, maybe I'm done with that one. You know, lay it to rest, switch on to a different topic. And this week I felt like the Lord was like, no, you're not done. And you may not be done until the end of 2025. And then I said, really? And he said, or just when I come back. Because community is so close to his heart. And the body of Christ is so close to his heart because that's how we make it through life. And I love Corey's story this morning because it really speaks to that. Like, I was just thinking, like, how can I connect his story with the sermon? And I believe it's so connected because he shared how his daughter was praying and praying. And where did the answer come from? Obviously it came from the Lord, but did it come from someone on this planet? It did. And it came from her father. And I think that is a powerful statement of how God works and answers prayer. And we know this. It's through the body. It's through people. And I was just, I've been like trying to hammer this home that we need each other. There's this quote that I've said every single time, and I just, let's do it again because it's so powerful. And if you haven't heard it, then this is for you to take home and chew on. If you've heard it, this is your number fifth time of hearing it. I hope that you remember it for tomorrow. If you want to go fast, go alone. If you want to go far, go together. We have to do this walk together. And I was just in the congregation just now, and I felt like the Lord brought up my history. So I've been part of this church since 1996, which is a long time, and I'm not that old. No, I am. I just turned 35 last week, so I'm getting up there, but I'm not old. But anyways, so I've been here almost 30 years. And so there is a particular three couples that have really walked with me since I was 6 years old. And they're still here today. There's, you know, many more that have gone and left. But Barb and Bob, Graham and Judith, Chuck and Val as the elders of West Ottawa. And each one of them has demonstrated community to me over the last 30 years. And the reason why I have pushed myself so far in community living is because of the heritage that I received from these community-minded folks. And they have given everything, and even things they don't have, they've given over the last 50 years for some of them, 30 years, 30 plus, to this church and to the community of West Ottawa. And so I just want to honor you guys as my leaders, as my elders, as people that have shown and gone ahead of this thing that is inside my heart. Like Chuck and Val have watched our kids so many times. They've watched, growing up, they were watching everyone's kids. Like I remember there was a single mom that was really close to us, and they watched her kids so many times. They have just given and given and given to the congregation. Graham and Judith, you guys spent my whole high school life. They stepped in and did youth leading, which probably was not on their radar at the time because we lost our youth pastor. And so they came in with another couple and the parents were leading the youth. And that is like not normal, I will say. Usually you're looking for the young person that has lots of life to give. Not, you guys still had lots of life to give, but anyways, they stepped in because they saw, you know, things in our youth that they were able to impart or to pull out the treasures in us. And they spent hours with us for worship practices, and we were fighting, and we used to fight like crazy, our youth team. And Judith would come in and she'd bring the peace, and then Graham as well, and we'd pray, and then we'd go and lead a service for, I remember there was a Haitian church, we had a massive fight in our practice, and we were like, how, we all were feeling the heavenly guilt a little bit, how are we supposed to lead these people to the throne room when we've just like beat each other up, you know, with our words and whatever. And then they came in and we just had this like beautiful reconciliation moment right before we got on the stage. And then the Holy Spirit, boom, fell in the service. And just the leadership that you guys have given me personally and in my life, it's been incredible. And so thank you as well for that. And then Bob as well, you just growing up, and then the amount of, just like you said, with the moving, like you're just always there, you know, you're fixing the building, every problems that there was. I remember his daughter, Paulina, is one of my best friends. We grew up together, and I was at their house as much as probably at my own house, and she was at our house. And you've been such a father to me over the years. And so thank you so much as well for just being real, being honest, taking us to your cottage and letting us, you know, try water skiing and all these things. Just been such a father to me. So yeah, I just want to honor you guys as how you have given and given so much to this community, and you demonstrate the heart of God in service and love pouring out. Yes, thank you. Because a lot of times we can look at our own life and say, oh, I don't have much to give, or I don't have much capacity to give, and or I don't have much resources, you know, in all aspects of our life. Right now, I'm a young mom of three, a five and a three and a one-year-old, and I was just thinking this morning, like, I have nothing. Like, my eye is twitching. Like, it's been twitching for a week because I'm so tired. But I just felt like that the Lord was like, that doesn't matter. No, it matters. But he is like, he just says, you know, we give when we have nothing, and he's there. He gives on top of what we give. The littlest is much, right? The little is much. Yeah, so you may, hopefully you can't see, but it is like constantly twitching, and it's really distracting. So even this morning over there, I'm like, how am I going to speak? I'm going to just twitch the whole time. But thank you, Lord, even in our zero capacity, He still is able to do things, right? I love you. I'm already married. I am so tired, is what I'm trying to say. But that doesn't mean much in the kingdom. It means, like, yes, there is grace. There is grace for the weak. And when there is a need and you feel like you're not able to meet it, just like Corey, there is in there, you know, when we meet the Lord halfway, or, you know, probably even only in maybe an eighth or a 20th, He'll bring you to the rest of it, right? And I just feel like there's so much power when we give out of our lack. And I really had this verse in my heart. It's in there in the slide somewhere, but I just feel really lost right now. So I'm just going to bear one another's burdens, because we have burdens. We have burdens, church. And we need each other. And the enemy uses isolation as his number one killer in the body. Because we hide when we have troubles, because we have shame, there's fear, embarrassment, and that is the number one killer of the body of Christ, is this lie that we can do it by ourselves, or that we are going to be a burden to someone and they won't be able to carry it for us. But we can carry each other's burdens because we are being carried by Him. It says that His yoke is easy and His burden is light. Because I don't know if you've heard this before, but in that scripture, there's a picture of the oxen and the yoke. I don't know if I'm going to say this right. So farmer, you can correct me if there's a farmer in here and I'm doing this wrong. But what I believe the picture is there's a huge ox and he's got this yoke on, and then he's training a young ox under him, and they've both sharing the yoke, but the big ox is carrying the load, right? The young ox thinks he's doing stuff, but he's just following, really. So that is the picture of what Jesus is doing for us. Like, we are walking under His yoke, and it's easy because He's carrying most of it. And therefore, even though it's not easy, it's hard, and we are struggling and we have burdens, we can still therefore bear others' burdens, because if we're bringing them right back to where they belong, that's what we're supposed to do. Just bring it back to the Lord, and He'll help you, help us. In Isaiah 46, there's a beautiful verse where it says that the Father has carried us from the womb until gray hairs. And they think that is such a beautiful picture, that He's carrying us, and therefore we can carry others. And that is the picture of the gospel. That is the gospel. And that is what enables the body to be shining lights in the world. It says in so many scriptures, Acts 2, at the very, very bottom here, I think it was the last time I shared, we already went over the koinonia, which means the fellowship. It's a participatory fellowship. It's active. It's not passive. And it says at the bottom, after all these amazing things, you know, they're devoting themselves to teaching and to fellowship, the breaking of bread and prayers, and awe came upon every soul. Many signs and wonders were being done. And all who believed were together and had all things in common. They were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. And day by day, so this is a thing I keep trying to drive home to, is day by day, this is a daily thing. There's, you know, it says exhort one another daily. It's not just a Sunday morning community. This is a daily thing where we are bearing each other's burdens. We are working through life together and working through our salvation together. So they are breaking bread in their homes daily and attending the temple together. They received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all people, so not just believers. And here it comes, and the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. If we want to be effective ministers in the world, if we want to see the gospel go forth into the nations, it's on us to be a body. It's on us to be a participatory, fellowshipping, sacrificing, loving, sharing body. And that is supernatural, and that calls people to Jesus that were not there. And so this is a bit of review, but there's another part in Acts 4 when it says the same exact thing. They just were distributing. There was no need. Another thing we talked about for those that weren't here, the
context of, you probably, some of you already called this out the last time I did a review, so you should have this in your memory, but if you didn't hear it, this is good information. The New Testament and Old Testament was written in the context of a hot culture climate. Now, this is a good test. Who remembers what hot culture climate and cold culture climate is? Okay, but don't look at that. No cheating. Okay, so the main, there's lots and lots of differences, but one of the main differences is group orientation versus individual orientation. Now, who knows that another cancer besides isolation, which is very connected to isolation, is individualism in the Western church? Ooh, it is a cancer that kills because we are not made to be individual believers. We are made to be communal believers, village believers, and the whole context of the Bible was written to group-oriented believers. So anytime that there is a you, most of the time the you is plural. So if it says you are the temple of the Holy Spirit, it actually means we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. And we get very stuck on our personal walks with Jesus, which is a good thing. But it's not a good thing to be stuck on that and not see the wider, bigger picture of the we have a salvation that's communal, that's connected, that is fused, intertwined. There's all kinds of words. Look at thesaurus, thermostat, thesaurus. There's so many synonyms to that, like that connected thing. It's not separate. It can't be separate. Pieces of a puzzle. When you just have a puzzle and there's one piece, isn't that lame? Yeah. It's actually pretty dumb. Like, there's no point. So you can't be your own little piece of the puzzle, because then what are you doing? You're just being lame. So don't be lame. Pardon? Yeah, who said the puzzle? It was Bob. Good job, Bob. Yeah, puzzle. We're a puzzle. Okay, so we are a connected group salvation journey. And that was the whole intent of the life of Jesus. His whole purpose was to build the church and then to expand it. And it gets expanded through the building, through the connecting, through the growing, through the tension, through the storming. And we talked about this too, is like, I always get it mixed up, but forming, norming, storming, and then performing. Okay, so you, as a group, we always talked about this in YWAM when we have our team building. There's always these stages of group. And when you get to the storming stage, most people give up and they go, oh, like we're never going to make it. But we're not effective until we pass through that into the performing stage. So you actually have to get to storming in order to get to performing. Because if you just stay in the norming and forming, then you're not actually performing. So that's another interesting little side note. So this is just a lot of repetition, but I think we need repetition, don't we? Because without it, it's like, are we actually activating this? Are we actually walking out in this? And that comes to the next thing. So there was a challenge. There was a homework that I did give. So those of you who have not been here, there is no pressure for you to have done this homework, because you wouldn't have known about it unless you've been just doing it anyways. But I asked, or I challenged, to do one thing. This was like months ago, probably. But one thing, or like that week, I said, do one thing that is community building that you wouldn't normally do. And did you do it? I want to hear if someone's did it, or if someone's been thinking about how can I incorporate this into my life, make it active, make it anybody. Ah, we got one.
Well, this week I heard that there was a march downtown, the March for Jesus, and I am a pretty shy guy. I keep to myself, but I said, you know what? I need to be out in the community. So I took my camera, took all kinds of pictures, and I met people. I met a street preacher who wanted to convert me. I told him I already was. But he gave me a placard to hand out, and he said, go hand this to someone else. And I'm horrible at this. So I went up to a man, and I said, can I give you this? He goes, I don't speak English. I go, I don't speak French. And so then I moved on to the next person. It was a younger person working at a kiosk. And I said, can I give you this? I promised that I would give it. He goes, sure. He took it, and he put the little band on his wrist and everything. And then shortly after that, I was on Parliament Hill taking photos, and people from other churches came up, and they wanted group shots, and they gave me their emails to send them the photos. So I felt really blessed that day.
Thank you, Bill. That's amazing. That's so good. Yeah, it's like, it's that thing. It's like getting out of our comfort zone. It does take, there is a cost. It isn't natural to us in our environment and our culture to do stuff like that, to go out of our comfort zones to bless other people. Because if it is slightly inconvenient, or maybe we say, oh, we're introverted, or we think of all these things, all these excuses. But in the context of the New Testament, he wasn't talking to introverts and extroverts and saying that introverts have an excuse, which is really hard to think about because we've been taught that so much bless the introverts. I am also, surprisingly, you would not know this, but I am actually introverted. But I have spent years pushing myself. No, I'm not necessarily, maybe I'm not introverted, but I guess it is actually hard for me to greet people that I don't know. It's hard for me to be in a group of people that I don't know. It is actually hard, surprisingly. You might be like, what? I thought you were the most extroverted person in the world. I have really pushed myself over the last 20 years, and it is now not necessarily natural even to say hello to a new person, but it is easier. I actually got that from my dad over there. I remember him telling me, he was a greeter growing up in the church, and I was like, oh, Dad, because he was telling me to go greet some young, teenager that just came in through the doors. And I was like, no, that's the worst and most embarrassing thing ever. And then he went, this is when I was a teacher, and he goes, every time someone comes through that door that's new, I have to kind of, just push it over my little shyness and welcome them, because that's what Jesus would do. And he didn't say it like that. I'm just paraphrasing. He was very kind about it. I was like, what? So I don't have an excuse? And he's like, no. So I went ahead and I got over my awkward shyness and insecurity, and I talked to the kid, and that was the start of, pushing myself to do things I'm not comfortable with, because my dad led in examples, and he's grown, I'm sure, in the last, good job, Dad. I'm sure most of you as well would never have guessed that maybe he was also shy in the last 20, 30 years ago, but he has pushed himself for 30 years or 50, I don't know, I'm not going to say how old you are, but for a long time, he's pushed himself out of his comfort zone, and he was also an example to me that I can't stay in my quiet little corner with my little friends over there as a teenager and not, welcome people, because that's not cool. It's not cool to be stuck in our little corners, because Jesus asked us to step out and be connected. It doesn't matter what our personalities are. There is still a command. And actually, we had a ton of scriptures that I brought up that I just reread today. This was like 6 months ago that I did this one, so you probably don't remember these. But there are some crazy scriptures that actually have responsibilities of the body that we often just leave to Jesus, because it's like a little bit more work. And we don't like work. Well, no, we do. Some people like work. I'm personally a little bit on the lazy side, but maybe not you. Here we go. This is pretty amazing. Jude 1, 20 to 23. It says, but you, beloved, building yourselves up in your most holy faith. So not, hey, Johnny over there, build yourself up. Oh, build yourself up. No, build ourselves up, the body, in the most holy faith, and praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God, waiting for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ that leads to eternal life. So that sounds pretty connected and communal. It's not just, oh, I've got to work on my own self, my own faith. I got to build up my sister Susie, my brother Johnny together. And then here comes even the crazier part. It says, have mercy on those who doubt. Save others by snatching them out of the fire. That sounds pretty active. And we often just leave that to Jesus. Well, he'll do the saving. We can pray. But it says, go save Johnny's soul and snatch them out of the fire to show others mercy with fear, hating even the garment stained by the flesh. James 5, 19 to 20. My brothers, if any of you wanders from the truth and someone brings him back, that's a physical, active, participatory word, brings him back, let him know that whoever brings back a sinner from his wandering will save his soul from death and will cover a multitude of sins. Wow. That is powerful stuff. That is a powerful responsibility that we have. With great power comes great responsibility. Who said that? Uncle Ben. Okay, Hebrews 3, 12 to 13. Take care, brothers, lest there be in any of you an evil, unbelieving heart leading you to fall away from the living God. Exhort actually is also a very active, it's a word that means encourage or lift up, build up. It's an active, continuing, participatory word in Greek. Every day, as long as it's called today. So there's no excuse there. Oh, it's tomorrow now, I can take a break. As long as today is called today, which every day will be today, won't it, for the rest of eternity? Well, maybe there's no todays in heaven, but there might be. So every day, as long as it's called today, that none of you may be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. So we have a responsibility to actually keep each other soft, keep each other undeceived. That's not a word. Not deceived. To keep each other aware of the truth. I need a thesaurus. Okay. Yeah. So exhort one another daily as long as it's called today, that none of you may be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. So the Holy Spirit is involved, of course, but there's also a role that we play to keep each other soft and to keep each other in step with God and in the holiness of God. There's so many more verses. If you want more, you let me know. I'll send them to you. I had a whole exercise planned that you guys are lucky that we don't have time for. But this happens to me every time. I always talk too much. Okay. This was all just review. What am I doing? Okay. Well, hopefully those that haven't been here, this is really helpful. And those that have been, it's repetitive and sticks in a little bit farther into your spirit. So we're going to... Oh, yeah. So back to the bearing each other's burdens. This was my heart for this morning. So there is so much to community, but 1 Corinthians 12, it says, "But God has put the body together, giving great honor to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body, that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it." And we suffer, like people in the world, we suffer, and it's real, and we can't just say, oh, it's not that hard, or, oh, just pray it about it and it'll be fine. Like, there's real pain, there's real suffering, there's real trauma. And I think the thing that I was really feeling from the Lord is, yes, there is pain, there's suffering, but it gets easier when we do it and go through it together. It really does. And that's why the lie that you can do it by yourself or you'll be a burden to other people is so powerful, because it actually steals our strength, because we are each other's strength. And we need each other. We can't just pop in on Sunday morning, go home, and that's it for the rest of the week. One of the services, I had a thing up here, and I said, you know, how many times have you connected with someone outside of Sunday morning? And it was a kind of like 1 to 7. So there was many people that confessed, you know, it's only the one. I've only actually interacted with someone from the body once. It was today. And then the rest of the week, I just do my stuff, you know, connect. Now, there are a lot of people that are like, you know, at 6, 7. Awesome. Daily is what the Bible says. So we should be at 7 times, which seems exhausting for some of us. It is exhausting, but it gets easier once you get to the performing part. It just sails through. So you have to, you know, there is some work to it. It's you know, it says work out your salvation with fear and trembling. It is a bit of work, but there is grace and there is strength when we walk through and carry each other. You know, when Moses had his hands up, he needed the people to hold up his hands. He couldn't do it, even though it was really hard. He needed his brothers to help him. And that's the same with us. Like, we can go through really hard things, but when we do it together, when we confess, like, this is something so freaking hard, and I need help. Like, even if the person is not able to physically just take away the burden, being there and saying, this is hard, let me take it with you. Let's carry this together, because that is so powerful, and we need each other. And I've been carried, you know, I felt that, and it's freeing, and I want to do that for others. I don't want to just be carried and not carry. I need to carry and be carried. It needs to be both, a give and take. Yeah, it's so powerful, guys. It's like the whole, it's just everywhere throughout the Bible is this theme of being together, being one in the spirit, being one in body, one in one flesh and one heart. Philippians 2:1-4. So if there's any encouragement in Christ, any comfort from love, any participation in the Spirit, any affection and sympathy, complete my joy. Wow. We can complete the Lord's joy by being of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. And it's very easy to get caught up in our own interests, because it seems like it's the most right now moment thing. I'm struggling with this, whatever, and it is hard, and that's all I can think about. And there is truth to that, but that's not it. You don't stay there. You can bring other people into it, and then you can actually see, when you see others, what they're struggling with, it actually lifts you up to be able to connect with your pain through a different eye set. Like, it's just perspective is so important. And when we gain perspective by hearing and seeing and walking with others' stories, we can then come at our issues from a different angle, and it actually will help. So basically what I'm saying is, or what Jesus is saying, is go beyond yourself, because once we get to each other, then we can get to the others. We can't stay to, wow, that was kind of cool. I don't know what I just said, but that was cool. Hopefully you remember that. Something, oh, it's recorded, okay. Oh yeah, all the other sermons are recorded. So if you want to go in to find, I think Dad's got it titled like Community or Body of Christ or something. There's, if you want to go back and hear some other things. But yeah, so basically if we stay here in our own self, our own issues, our own lives, our own work, jobs, family, relationships, and then we stay there, we are so ineffective for the gospel, like so beyond ineffective. But if we come here, then we jump to our brothers and we say, hey, how are you doing? We connect, then we can go out and we can actually then bring people in. And that is how evangelism works. Yes, there's evangelism that you go out on the street and you talk to people, but there is incredible, like there was 3,000 people that got saved because of those 120 little guys in the upper room, because they were experiencing supernatural Holy Spirit koinonia fellowship. And there was instantly that same day 3,000 salvations. Poof. If we want to see Ottawa come to Jesus, and we have been, and there is pastoral community unity happening in Ottawa, and it's amazing. And well, we also need to do that on our level, and it needs to be all the levels connecting and intermingling. And then there's going to be, yeah, so here's Galatians 6:2, carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. That's the Bible, guys. It's not me. No, so I love to activate things when I speak. So maybe we'll take 2 minutes to turn to someone you don't know. This is so scary for some people. Okay, so find one person you don't know. How can I pray for you this week? And we may not have time to actually do the praying, but write it down, remember it, and we're going to do that. For those of you on Zoom, we are going to ask you to also pray for the person next to you if you're with someone. If you're not, share. Actually, you can write in the chat. You can share with the moderator if you have a prayer request, and we'd love to pray for you. Oh, wait, actually, we're going to close it for the Zoom guys, so it's not too much standing time. So I'm going to just quickly pray. We're going to do this then after I pray, because I'm going to close it. We're going to pray, and then we're going to have one more song. Okay, we're going to just do a prayer. Thank you, Jesus, that you love community. You love the body. And even when there are people here that maybe have never been here before, you love them, and you want them to come in and be part of us, and you want us to go out together as a one front into the world to bring the kingdom of heaven to earth. So we pray right now as we connect with one another that we would be challenged, we would grow, and we would pursue koinonia in a greater way this coming weeks. In Jesus' name, amen.